Hello, America, and to our friends few and far between around the world. This is Dave Hodges. I'm the host of the Common Sense Show. We are the show freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. We are very patriotic here at this show, and we are also decidedly Christian. Don't have to be to come here. We respect everybody's right to worship and pray the way they see fit, as long as there's no victims. But unfortunately, there's a lot of people out there that don't want Christians practicing their faith, and they're trying to bastardize the religion. And we have covered that ad nauseum, but I'm going to take a little different track on that today. And also, we're going to talk about Bibi Netanyahu. Is he dead or alive? That's not the main focus of what we're going to do. I think definitely he's alive, but we're going to take a look at some of the evidence that people are talking about, but then I'm going to tell you at the end of the day why it doesn't matter to Israel or America whether he's still serving in his capacity as prime minister. Glad to be with you. We are brought to you by a great product here, and I have a funny story to tell you. It wasn't funny at the time. I'm on the basketball court the other day, and I'm shooting baskets, preparing to play a little bit, and all of a sudden, my knee locks up, and I'm recognizing it as, uh-oh, it's a meniscus issue. Oh, come on, Dave. Is it just your old body giving out? Because remember, I wasn't able to play for about 25 years because of bad knees. Well, I stretched, I iced, and I continued taking the NanoSoma gel and gross pluripotent stem cells. And here's what I discovered about the products. Not only did they restore me, strip lung linings with the RSV that I talked about, the NanoSoma liquid spray boost the immune system to get over that. Okay, I'm in the gym, old aches and pains come back. And well, I had to resort to the gel and took 6 to 8 weeks. I was fine. But what I've discovered is these products are as much about maintenance and recovery than they are about getting over something. And I'm shocked that today I have zero pain. Nothing. Nothing. Nada. In fact, I did some goblet squats before I came on just to see, can I really do them? No pain. These products are awesome. I don't think they're going to keep me immortal, but I think I'm experiencing the next best thing. You can be in the same place I am if you're struggling with pain, if your immune system's not functioning the way it should. These are the products for you. And then, by the way, the skin cream, great for cuts and burns. Go to iwantmyhealthback.com/Dave Hodges. iwantmyhealthback.com/Dave Hodges. By the way, 15% off the starter pack on retail price. Again, iwantmyhealthback.com/Dave Hodges. Well, the stories are rampant on the net, and I've heard it. I've had family members bring it up to me. Is Netanyahu really dead? Man, he's kind of been underground, and AI photos are surfacing where he's got six digits on one hand and eight on the other. I didn't believe it until I saw it. And I'm thinking, okay, well, I think likelihood he's alive and they're being cautious with him. And you can't trust any word that comes out of a government that's at war, including our own, because the casualty of war, the first casualty, is always the truth. But let's assume he's dead, or let's assume he's alive. It doesn't really matter to Israel. Okay? Doesn't really matter to America. Damage done. He dragged us into a war that he said, and I quote, I was dreaming about for 40 years. And here we are in this war, and there's no off-ramp. And now we're worried about, does Iran really have the nuclear weapons that they professed to have yesterday? And the circumstantial evidence says it's possible. Notice I'm not coming to a definitive conclusion on this. But he's saying it is possible, and I see the possibilities. But back to Netanyahu for a second. I said it doesn't really matter to his people and their welfare, keyword welfare, if he's dead or alive. It doesn't matter to America and our welfare if he's dead or alive. Damage done. We're in a war we can't get out of. And it's destroying our economy. It's destroying MAGA. Well, here's what's happening inside Israel. First of all, Israel's had to tell its citizens, we can't defend you. You need to spend considerable time in a bomb shelter. They admit to, what is it, 5,000, no, 500 Israelis are dead. And I've been told it's probably at least 10 or 20 times that amount. 100,000 people from Israel have left the country. Now, I want to back up and say something. When I was saying it is not our obligation to fight this war that Netanyahu wants, it's not a defense war for Israel, which I agree. We should come to Israel's defense if they're attacked. I said it's not a defensive war for the United States. I don't buy. We destroyed their nuclear facilities, but months later we have to go back and do it again because they were days away. I'm not buying that. We were lied into the war. We lied after we committed to Netanyahu. And I'm called anti-Semitic for saying that. Didn't I just say if Israel was truly attacked, that we should defend them? Well, they brought these attacks now on themselves with our help at their request. But 100,000 people have left Israel. Now, I'm anti-Semitic for saying I don't support the war. Are these 100,000 Jewish people who left Israel, are they anti-Semitic too? I mean, this whole argument breaks down, totally breaks down. And then we have another problem. It's the infestation of Zionism into our politics. I want a strong relationship with Israel. They are a needed ally in a critical part of the world, as long as they behave. And I do mean behave. And we should be dictating the terms of our military invention, and they should be following. Why? Because we give them $4 billion a year, and we're doing what they tell us. Let me go to a quote here. Ted Cruz, senator from Texas. Ted Cruz, interview with Tucker Carlson. And I'll paraphrase the words. I made it my main mission when I was elected to the Senate to defend Israel. Whoa, whoa, wait a minute. I thought, Ted, you took an oath to the Constitution of the United States, and that's your main objective. Now, certainly you should support our military alliances, including Israel, but it's your main purpose over not America first? You're a traitor, Ted Cruz. You're a traitor. But it gets worse. Lindsey Graham, the biggest warmonger outside John Bolton that there is. I mean, on Fox News, he wore a hat that said, Make Iran Great Again. Oh, that's really going to want to make that country deal with us in an upfront manner. And maybe they're incapable of doing that. But when a U.S. senator comes out and is that blatantly propagandist, what hope do we have of negotiating anything? And he is a prostitute for the military-industrial complex, the one, that Dwight Eisenhower advised us of in his farewell address. Beware of the military-industrial complex. Its influence is unwarranted, unconstitutional, and unprecedented. Never been done before. And they have bankrupted this country, and we fight endless wars to keep them in their Mercedes. And Lindsey Graham is their representative. And he is bought off by Israel. Well, how do I say that? Well, he and Ted Cruz and all but 39 congressmen and senators are receiving money from AIPAC. Now, who's AIPAC? It's the Israeli lobby. And they're the only foreign lobby that doesn't have to register under the Foreign Agent Registration Act. FARA. Why? And see, this is how we're being dragged into a war that's destroying our country. Israel snaps their fingers and we say, how high would you like us to jump? By the way, the $4 billion we send to Israel plus military equipment too. Do you know that Israel has free health care? American citizens, let me ask you this question. Do you think $4 billion would help alleviate some of the health care costs? And they get free college. Well, college costs are going up 8 times faster than the cost of living. Here in America, student loans are destroying lives. There's even cottage industries of companies springing up to help you with student loans. That's the biggest fraud against the American public out there. And meanwhile, college administrators are paid like pro athletes, 8 times faster than the cost of living. That's what our kids and our families are paying while we underwrite the cost for college costs for Israeli young adults. Oh, I'm anti-Semitic for mentioning that. No, it's called America First. I'm talking about government. Have you heard me criticize Judaism? Well, I'll get to them in a minute, but you haven't heard me say anything negative to that point. But now we're going to get to the point. I'm a Christian. This nation was founded as a Christian nation. However, we have freedom of religion for everybody. And by the way, if you doubt what I just said, okay, pick up a history book, make it older than 30 years. The new ones are, shall we say, they got the woke disease. Make it older than 30 years, and you look at we're founded as a Christian nation, but do I have a problem with Jewish people practicing their faith? Of course not. Muslims? Of course not. Hindus? No. Look at Tulsi Gabbard. I've supported her all through her campaign to move into the Republican Party and try to make America first. So practice what you want. But do you see your religious rights out there, people who are pro-Zionist? And where my Christian nose begins. And I'm going to be very specific here. I've said this before, but now I'm going to say it in very clear and concise terms. You keep talking about Genesis 12, 3. You curse Israel, Israel be cursed, and honor God, the chosen people are Israel. And that's the first covenant between Abraham and God, and it's real. And yes, it's in the Old Testament of my Bible, but Jewish people were faced with the same problems we have today. Baal, Moloch, and Asherah. Satanic, godlike entities, mythical in all likelihood, created by Satan himself that basically hurt the Jewish people. And we have done a show on this. We have prosperity gospel. We have the sacrificing of young. We have all of these idol worships. Remember Bible says, Ten Commandments, you shall have no other gods before me. Well, the Jewish people did, and we do. We're no better. It's the human condition brought about by original sin that both religions agree on. Here's where I disagree. We're told you should want to go to war for Israel. And when you say that we shouldn't, and you disagree with their government, that you are anti-Semitic and you're not a good Christian. They're leaving something out of that equation, aren't they? Those of you that went to Sunday school and you truly know your Christian religion and you've read your Bible and listened to some sermons from non-Zionist pastors, you know, there's a second covenant that preempts everything else that comes before it. And that is the life, the crucifixion, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who died for our sins as long as we repent and confess him publicly. That is our covenant as Christians. It doesn't say you can believe in Jesus, but you still got to do what the Israeli government and Netanyahu tell you. And this is the fundamental difference. And see, this is why I'm opposed to groups like TPUSA. because they embrace Zionism. Oh, you don't believe me? Follow the money. Charlie tried to follow the money and he ordered an audit. Oh, excuse me, they called it an effort. I don't care what you call it. He wanted finances turned upside down in TPUSA 8 days before his death. And his wife says, I want to honor his legacy. Oh, really? Well, then why didn't you do the audit? Why did you cancel it, Erica? And why did you fire people who reminded you that's what Charlie wanted? My duty is to Jesus Christ, and my priorities are God, family, country, in that order. Not God, family, Zionism, country. Not Zionism, God, country, family. God, family, country, period. To my Jewish friends, you have no problem with what I'm saying. We've had these discussions. I've had many people, including rabbis, tell me, Dave, you're right. Believe your faith, follow your conscience, do what you think is right for you, your faith, and your country. Because you're not persecuting anybody. But I'm not going to be allowed to have America colonized by Zionism, both our religion and our country. And but if you keep electing leaders like Ted Cruz and Lindsey Graham, this is what you get. And I wonder if Ted Cruz didn't take so darn much money from AIPAC, if he would be spouting these anti-Christian views. And by the way, let's clear up a term here. Christian Zionism. No, Christian friendship. With Jewish people, military alliance, it's mutually beneficial for both countries, but not a pecking order where I'm on the bottom. I hope I've made myself clear. This view will never change, and I'm willing to pay any price to say Jesus comes first in my life. And boy, I'm not perfect with that. But ideologically, my overarching belief is that. And for most of my fellow Christians, we believe the same thing. And this is why most of America, and I do mean most, has turned on Congress. They have turned on the media. They have turned on President Trump's actions of recent because it's a betrayal of our patriotism and most of all our faith. And to my fellow Christians and Americans out there, stay the course. Don't let people browbeat you with false biblical doctrine. Hey, the Bible warns us in the end days, there'll be many impersonators, and there are. Hold to your faith. Now, is there a solution? Because people like Sarah Westall and myself have jointly said this in interviews we do together. There's a lot of impersonators in the alternative media. Oh, they say I'm for America. They say I am a Christian. But when it comes down to it, they'd like to take BB $7,000 to $11,000 per publication that he pays out. And they're anything but. How can you tell the difference? Well, Zionism's pretty obvious on its face, but aside from that, when these people don't give you honest alternatives. They raise the issues. They almost paralyze you with fear. And then they say to you, this is just the way that it is. No, it isn't. First of all, God can conquer all obstacles. And you need to get into faith and we need to join together. That's where true change comes from. But more importantly, to see through this facade, you have to have a solution. And sometimes our solutions aren't as good as other times, but at least someone's trying. I'll give you an example. For Lindsey Graham and Ted Cruz, when they're up for re-election, we should defeat them in the primary. Simple. I would rather have Joe the plumber with no political experience, but works hard for a living, supports his family, is a good person, pays his taxes, goes to church on Sunday. I would rather have him with very little political experience than these creeps that have forsaken America first. So what do we do? My idea was, and it still will remain until the momentum grows, toss them all, as in tossthemall.com, where you primary people out, like what President Trump's trying to do to Thomas Massie. And by the way, in case you're wondering, I support Thomas Massie. But we need to primary these people out this fall. I used to think we could have a naughty and nice list, and maybe we still can, but I'll tell you, there's only 39 total congressmen and senators that aren't on a PAC's list. And to me, if you're receiving campaign funds from any foreign government, I don't care if it's China, I don't care if it's Russia or France, I don't care if it's Israel or Senegal, I don't care. If you're receiving money from a foreign government, you don't belong in Congress because you will follow the money. You know, and the Bible says you can't serve two masters. You'll love one and hate the other. So when you're a dual citizen, that really applies. We should have zero dual citizens in Congress. You know, listen, God bless people that come here, get naturalized, become citizens. Welcome. I've got that in my family on my dad's side. Welcome to the American experience. Embrace the American experience. You're a citizen of America. You can be a dual citizen. I just think that should disqualify someone from running for office because of the conflicts of interest. The government exists to promote the welfare of the people of America, not China, Joe Biden, not Israel, America. So, for you people who are called, you're a Christian nationalist, okay? Well, first of all, there's no such thing as a Christian Zionist. You're one or the other. Christian nationalist, I don't like the term. I'll just say it this way. I think it's a part A and part B. It's not a combination. I'm a Christian. I love America. I want America to be better than it is. I want America to return to its roots. So, I'm a nationalist in that regard. And I'm a Christian. You see, Christian nationalism is used to say you're prejudiced against everybody else that isn't that. That's not true. But I'm saying I demand that of my government. My government exists to serve my interests, the American interest. And we're not doing it. Look at USAID and when they had the Doge stuff. Do you think your interests were being protected there? I don't think so. Ladies and gentlemen, it is time that we unashamedly stand up and say, we're Christians, we're not apologizing, we have the right to vote our conscience, we have the right to demand our government spends every single tax dollar on American interests. Period. I don't think that's radical. But when you say that, you're now anti-Semitic. I'm Dave Hodges. This is the Common Sense Show. Hello, America, and to our dwindling friends around the world, welcome to the Common Sense Show. We're the show, freeing America, one enslaved mind at a time. And this is no doubt going to draw the ire of people who think that this administration would never, ever, ever betray you. Even if the head of the administration, Donald Trump, had lost control and bureaucrats are making the decisions, which it is increasingly looking like. You think, how could it happen? Well, I don't know. I mean, I suppose you could look at JFK. You could look at Richard Nixon, certainly Jimmy Carter, Ronald Reagan's second term, Barack Obama's two terms. Gee, is anybody I'd left out? Gerald Ford, the cover-up master? George Bush? Let's roll some dice, George. What are they going to come up? 9/11? Should I keep going? How about Biden? Well, some chopsticks with your meal there, Joe? What did the House Oversight Committee find out about you? And, okay, well, oh, how about the auto pen, which isn't going to be prosecuted? Anyway, I'm going to cover some things here. And I told you, I don't care whether I do this or not. But if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it right. And I'm not saying what I'm going to propose here is true. But in the words of the great Charlie Kirk, prove this wrong. I wish this could be proven wrong, but the circumstantial evidence is adding up. What if the United States was not supposed to win this war? Good question, Dave. Very good question. We're looking at unbelievable economic spinoffs. They've already started. I mean, 5 days ago, I was paying $1.10 less for a gallon of gas. It means everything else I buy is more expensive. It's incredible. We're doubling down on our garden, but we only have so much time. We live in Arizona. It gets so hot, nothing grows. But we're trying. And you better do something too, food, water, guns, gold, ammo, natural medicine, and tools. And you better take care of your money. How many of you have come into some money, either inheritance or you basically had to take your minimal withdrawal from your IRA, which is the age of 73? Your retirement's associated with the bank, and you can cash that out because you know the bank's going to steal it. Oh, someday the banks get desperate enough. Dodd-Frank 2010. You got a bonus. You won the lottery. Whatever it is. This isn't for people who want to put in $500 or $1,000. What I'm going to tell you is if you want to build unbelievable residual income that's virtually tax-free, do with IULs, end-of-life care, insurance, a whole bundle together. And it's way the super rich became even more rich. And it used to be illegal to teach this. It no longer is. Joe Lombardi, top Wall Street broker, learned the mechanisms, and he can teach this to you. But first, they have to determine if you're right for this. If you're looking for something that's recession proof in this terrible economic environment that's just beginning to get worse, I think you owe it to yourself to have a conversation with Joe Lombardi's staff. All you got to do is go to DH Hawk, Dave Hodges, DHHawk.com, put in your contact information, and they'll tell you within 5 minutes, well, that's a pretty good idea for you, or this might not be right for you. Maybe you want to take a look at so and so. They don't have time to waste. They're not going to waste your time. Joe has never had a complaint with a Better Business Bureau, A plus rating, never lost a dime of customer money. If you're sitting on some money, this is where you want to be. DHHawk.com. Congratulations if you're sitting on money, and I mean that sincerely. Okay, I'm sitting back here and I'm looking at the Pentagon spy scandal. Have you seen this? Three people giving the battle plans for Operation Epic Fail, excuse me, Fury, to the Iranians, to a node in Europe that was served as the Iranian agent. Three people. One of them was trusted in the intel community. Have you seen this? Has now been explained. Listen, I'm going to give the Pentagon credit. You have been forthcoming. You've admitted the oversight. You've corrected it. But our battle plans were compromised. I think most of the men and women working at the Pentagon want to win this war. They want to save American lives as much as possible. I really do believe that. But I believe there is a nefarious group. Tucker Carlson calls it supranational. National. I agree with Tucker on this. I've been talking about this for years, the people behind the people who really calls the shots. I really believe that we're not supposed to win this war. I'm starting to really think this. How does this spy scandal get so embedded? They had to have help. It's not just the participants. It's the people that allowed the process to continue. Did they not learn anything from Ed Snowden? And by the way, I appreciate what Ed did. But did they not learn anything from that? Well, they should have. This is unbelievable. But that's not where I'm hanging my hat. That's just to tell you there are rats inside the ship that want to sink it. Oh, we're going to talk about Democratic rats in the next segment, but this is rats inside our intel ship, inside our Pentagon, inside the White House, that do not have your best interest at heart. So let's take a look at Vietnam. Were we supposed to win? Hell no. Could we have won? Absolutely. But when you base a war on body counts and so forth, and you're just expending ordnance like crazy, you drop more bombs in the first 3 years than we did all World War II. Okay, you're just trying to make money for the military-industrial complex. There were no objectives. Okay, what are the objectives here? It's regime change. No, it's not to destroy the missiles. No, it's not to destroy the Navy. No, it's not. We keep moving the goalposts. We don't have clearly defined objectives. We went to war, and this has been admitted to, because Jared Kushner and Stephen Witkoff told Donald Trump, we're going to get attacked. Well, where did those two get that information? Oh, Bibi Netanyahu. But I don't think we're supposed to win the war. The military-industrial complex wants this war. And they want it to go on indefinitely. They want to maximize profit. We are checkmated right now with the S-400s that are going in and all the other things the Iranians have done with their ballistic missiles that we have no defense for, their low-flying drones, which we have a hard time seeing and intercepting. We are checkmated. We had to withdraw our Navy. And there are people that write to me, and I'm sorry, I hate to be so pejorative in my comments. But so ignorant, they write to the comment section and they say these inane things like, oh, no, we're winning. We're winning. What broadcasts are you watching? If you can get past the cheerleading hype on Fox News, show me where the progress is. We retracted our fleet. Netanyahu's on the run. If he's alive, I think he is, but that's even in question. By what measure are you saying we are winning? We've tried an off-ramp. Not once, not twice, three times. We've asked for ceasefire, and Iran goes, what? We go ceasefire. We're winning. Every ally in the Middle East is afraid, and they know America can't protect them. This is a disaster, and we haven't even started with full-blown terrorist activities yet, involving Iranians, the Sinaloas, the TDAs, all the other cartels, the Chinese. We haven't even started that. We've had some lone wolf attacks. We are in big trouble. Now, I'm wondering, just like Vietnam, we were never supposed to win that war. That is so obvious. Could we have won the war? Yes, we had the technology. But we chose to do body counts. We'll fight the war here. No, we'll fight the war over there. We won't even establish a front. They could have systematically conquered every single village. Put the South Vietnamese in charge after the American troops went through and progress right up to the DMZ, and then tell North Vietnam, we're not going to make the same mistake Truman made with MacArthur. We will invade you and tell China, we dare you. At that point in time, China wouldn't have stood a chance. That's what should have happened in Vietnam. If you really wanted to win, you got to win. We didn't even do an Incheon landing. If you know your Korean War history, you know what I'm talking about. All right, now let's take a look at. If we're supposed to lose this war, and losing the war means no regime change and business as usual, and Iran either keeps their nuclear weapons or develops nuclear weapons they don't quite yet have, I mean, something is there along those lines. The war right now is lost. Can we recover? I don't know. I went through some options and none of them are good. But let's take a look at if we lose this war. And the Strait of Hormuz stays closed. Okay, now here we come to the punchline. With the S-400s and the other weapons that were there, they have now, courtesy of the Russians and Chinese, they can effectively close the Strait of Hormuz indefinitely with their Iwo Jima tunnel-based defenses. How do we root them out? We don't have enough troops. Even if we went Operation Nitro Zeus and drop troops into where we think the sites are and we destroy them. The casualty rate's incredible. We can't protect the aircraft that are landing them because of the S-400s. I could go on and on. It's a terrible situation that we are in. What if it's designed to be that way? Shut oil off from the world. Europe went through a 46-cent increase in the first hour after we bombed because Iran's retaliation forced Qatar to cut off their natural gas. Russia's not giving them natural gas. That used to be their main supplier prior to the Ukraine war. Europe's in big trouble. Their currency is on the edge. Our currency is on the edge. Our debt that we pay the interest is greater than our defense budget. How much do you think we can continue to take until currency across the world collapses? And see, we don't live in isolation. If the dollar goes down, the euro's down. The peso's down. The yen is down. There's so much interdependence and trade among the major nations. They're all down. Russia may come out the winner. But they're not going to go unscathed. What will replace currency collapse because oil's not moving through the Strait of Hormuz? First of all, you're not even going to be able to get gas. The supply chain's going to be, this is why I tell you, food, water, guns, gold, ammo, natural medicine, and tools. If you don't have food on hand for at least 3 months, you are in big trouble. You're really risking it. You go, well, I don't have the money. Well, then get a second job. Take on a roommate, someone who can contribute. Because I'm telling you, this is coming. When you have gas that's unavailable and shipping is not moving, where are you going to get your food? Why do you think there's going to be martial law? There's going to be food riots and there's going to be terrorism on top of it. And you say, well, Dave, the sky is falling, right? No, that's not what I'm saying here. What I'm saying is this is the natural progression of things. You live in an oil-based economy. Our economy was facing collapse under Joe Biden. And here comes Donald Trump. He stopped a lot of the negativity and started to correct some of it. And then he goes off and does this. And who surrounds Trump? The digital boys, the Silicon Valleys, the Peter Thiels. And what do they want to do? They want digital currency. This is why I tell you, go after Bitcoin and crypto. I use mydigitalmoney.com. Okay, and I'll put that in the link. That's who I use. But I'm telling you, the price has been artificially repressed for such a time as this. And when it's announced that, hey, we're going to have to shift from the dollar over to digital. And by the way, crypto and Bitcoin are already starting to recover. But this price, when they take off the repression that's been going on through MicroStrategy's courtesy of JP Morgan, it's going to explode. Ride that crest, people. Maybe the only insulation you get against a full-blown economic collapse and transference into digital. Now, here's what's scary about digital. I spoke a couple of years ago, 2.5 years ago, at Clay Clark's conference in Tulare, California. And he asked me to come in because we'd done some shows together on this. And he said, Dave, will you come speak at my conference and talk about the digital age, the 15-minute cities? See, they can do some things to you. Once they have the money digitized, if you control the digits, you control the people. Oh, you have to spend all your money by the end of the month. And by the way, we're taking some of your money and we're going to invest it over here because it's needed for our society. You don't get any say in it. You don't get to accumulate wealth month to month, so you can never compete with the super rich. This is why you need to make your money in Bitcoin and load up on gold and silver. It's that simple. And they're not going to take gold and silver because the wealthy are doing the same thing. This is your outlet. This is you're going to be in the rising class that survives. If you do this, they're also going to make it so you can't travel the 15-minute cities. Oh, I'm sorry, you took a trip 6 months ago. That's enough. Stay in your area. Oh, that you can't buy another steak. You just bought one a month ago. Remember the WEF? You'll own nothing and love it, and we'll tell you what you eat. Do you like bugs? Oh, bugs are great for you. Lots of protein. This is how they bring this in. This is a bankrupting war. Iran is not going to march their troops down Pennsylvania Avenue and capture the White House. They're just going to continue to destroy the economy. Mix in a little terrorism, and there we go. The only option you have outside praying for divine intervention from the Lord, and He can, and He might, if enough of us do it, you can pray, but also, too, you can prep. And as my friend Doug Thornton likes to say from the Doug and Dave Intel Report, train, prep, and pray. And this is not hyperbole, people. This is where we're at. Look at the gas station prices every time you drive by and enjoy driving your car. Many of us may not be doing that for much longer. Tucker Carlson, in my estimation, is one of the most informed journalists out there, one of the most informed people. In intel or out of intel, in media, out of media, this man is always 2 steps ahead of nearly everybody else, except in some areas where Candace excels. Bottom line, we cannot win this war, in my estimation. And even if we expend great cost to try to win the war, I am not sure we can. We're going to process what just happened as Russia just permanently tipped the balance of power in the Middle East, and we're in big trouble. My name is Dave Hodges. I'm the host of the Common Sense Show. We have the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. Thank you so much for joining us. And I owe my good health to a lot of things. By the way, I tweaked my knee playing basketball the other day. And I still apply gel and all these other things with NanoSoma products, which is the number two product here, the NanoSoma gel. And I credit my 2 day recovery because I thought, oh, this is bad. I passed up going to the driving range last night under this lighted driving range. Today, no pain. The recovery has been phenomenal. And the immune system boost I've talked about repeatedly that you get with the NanoSoma liquid spray. And it finally cuts burns, fine lines, and wrinkles with the cream. Together, it's the starter pack, 15% off. This is one-stop shopping for great improvement in the quality of your life. I know I'm walking, talking proof. Go to iwantmyhealthback.com/Dave Hodges for 15% off retail. Go to iwantmyhealthback.com/Dave Hodges. All right, here we go, ladies and gentlemen. This is something I don't want to report because I get a sick feeling in my stomach every time we lose military personnel. Maybe I'm sensitive to it because I grew up in a military family as a Navy brat. I was on bases even after my dad retired because he was doing some contract work for intelligence agencies. And like I said, I'm tied to this mentally, emotionally, and spiritually to some degree. These are people that do what most can't, and a lot of others are afraid to. And it's not a cliche to say these are the best of the best. They truly are. And I think, honestly, we don't treat them as well as we should. Well, the balance of power has been tipped, and we're going to see a lot of casualties if we stay on this course. And there's now a reason why the fleet contracted. I told you this yesterday. I said we have backed off our Navy far away. Well, I can tell you how far away. At least 371 miles. You say, Dave, that's really exact. Well, I'll explain that in just 1 second. The Russians have put in the S-400s. They've sent over these surface-to-air missiles for which we have no workaround. Now, I'll back up. I'll say this. The Pentagon has said, well, we've war gamed this and we're comfortable. We can deal with this. It's never been war tested. Never. There have been no drills to test this. So we've been aware of this S-400 system. Now, let me get to the stats. I mentioned a contraction of the Navy by 371 miles. I don't know if that's the exact amount, but if they want to stay out of range, that's how far away they have to be, because the range of this surface to air, which can come to the ground, by the way, it's not exclusive to the air, is 370 miles. They can take out craft up to 120,000 feet. Do you know that that's above the operational capability of our planes? They also have find foolproof radar where we can fly the F-22s and the F-35s at low altitude, and they can be detected and easily taken out. And also, too, this weapon overlaps with other systems, ballistic missile systems, surface-to-air missiles. So our pilots, when this is operational, will face overlapping lethal technology that can take them down. And there is no margin for error. In fact, I don't even think it's safe to fly, or soon won't be. Now, are these fully operational? Well, according to leaks that are getting into the mainstream media, and the Pentagon is not fully on board with this war, as we know, And there are leaks now, and they're saying the erectors for this are constructed, and it's a matter of assembling and coordinating the S-400s with each other and with the overlapping systems. They're close. We can do nothing about this, in my estimation. We have unverified, untested claims that we have answers. I'm not sure I'm buying it. What I will tell you is this. The allied alliances with our Middle East partners is fragmenting. It started with the fact that Netanyahu's house was taken out, then his secret bunker was taken out, rumors of his demise. And look, I don't know if he's alive or dead. Every leader has doubles. So the fact that someone made an appearance means nothing. And I do mean nothing. I think he's probably alive because I reported that he's been kept in the air a lot. But the bottom line is, he ain't safe. And if he's not safe, then how is the prince of this nation or the king of that nation, how are they safe? Well, they're not. They're held hostage by the random targeting of the IRGC. This is really frightening for our allies in the Middle East. And this is causing them to back away and do alternative energy deals, just like Saudi did. I reported this. They met with Russia and China and said, we'll sell you oil and you can use your currency instead of the petrodollar. That undermines the value of our dollar, makes your inflation greater, makes your dollar and your buying power worth less. This is an example of how our allies are backing away. But it gets worse. What are the options? Well, we can believe what I think is fiction that we have an answer. It's untested. So how do they know they have the answer? They don't. Okay. We can go with an all-out ground war, but where's the air support going to come from? Yeah. See, the ground war here. Yeah. Now, can we do Nitro Zeus, Operation Nitro Zeus? Doug Thornton, former DHS, former Marine, Fallujah, combat, all that. Okay. High-level training in DHS. He knows all about Operation Nitro Zeus. We've done shows on it. It's a high casualty event where you drop in troops and you take out, originally was designed to take out budding nuclear facilities. In this case, it would be applied to the S-400s. And you know they're going to be heavily, heavily defended. And the thing is the window to do this is really short. Now, as I reported yesterday, the 31st, 31st Division of the Marine Corps, early operations, standalone, the equivalent of the 101st Airborne dropping behind enemy lines on December 5th in preparation for the June 6th landings to take out bridges, block tanks from coming up, or whatever it was. That's this group's mission. They were en route as of 2 days ago to the Middle East, assuming they are there. We also have sent 5,000 more Marines. I think Nitro Zeus is probably the number one option here. But for the life of me, I can't figure something out. At some point, you have to stand up to the bully. We had to have knowingly let these Russian planes and Russian ships through. That's stupidity. I'll go back to World War I. We had a great deal for our military industrial complex in World War I. We were trading with the Germans and the British and the French. The British would just seize our ships and seize the cargo, and then they'd turn the crew loose. But the Germans lacked a sufficient surface fleet to do this. They had the U-boats. So they had no choice but to sink the ships, which they did. And they published fair warnings they were going to do this. They took out ads in places like the New York Times. They said, this is what we're going to do, and it's our right to do it because when you supply our enemy, you become our enemy. You're a belligerent in the conflict. Well, Russia is a belligerent in this conflict. Why did we not block Russian ships and/or planes from delivering weapon systems. In other words, President Trump, it's time to grow a pair. You say, well, Russia might respond hostile. Well, guess what's going to happen now? You've lost control of the Middle East because of this weapon system, Mr. President, because you were afraid to stand up to the Russians. What dumbass advisors told you to do this? Oh, let me guess. Witkoff and Kushner, for reasons we've talked about before. I mean, we've met the enemy and he is us, as the old saying goes. Well, there are other options. They're not pleasant. The all-out ground war will not work. Targeted strikes through Operation Nitro Zeus, in which they estimate 80% casualties, is an option. You could use directed energy weapons from space. The problem is we don't have enough of the systems. And would Russia employ its satellite killers? Or would China? They've already done it. They've tested it. They've taken out some of our satellites. If they do that, then it's world war. So the do weapons, possible, but can we have them ready in time to take out these S-400s before they can be assembled? No, probably not. We don't have enough directed energy weapons, and the ones that we do have are operated through airplanes. We can put them in space and they can be just as accurate. The problem is we don't have the manufacturing capability to do it in time. So then that falls to another option. This is really bad, but I think it's the one that would be the most effective. But it could trigger a world war if Russia and China respond as they might. And that's the use of tactical nuclear weapons. Yeah, the destruction zone's 1, 2 miles wide, but there's nothing left there. And actually, the ancillary damage is not so horrific. People could say, oh, this is a war crime. Well, people will say it, but in terms of damage to the environment, infrastructure would be significant, but not catastrophic. And it depends on the low yield type of tactical nuke you would use. And some of them are pretty pinpoint. Do you agree with me that there's no good option here? And we basically dug our own grave politically in the Middle East because we didn't confront the Russians. But what did we expect Putin to do? Russian soldiers are killed every day with American weapons. Tell me what the difference is. This reminds me of the Cuban Missile Crisis. When President Kennedy admitted to Khrushchev's envoy in Washington, look, I understand your concern. We have nuclear weapons in Turkey pointed right at Moscow. I get it. How is that different than having nuclear missiles in Cuba? One of the parts of the negotiated settlement after the blockade, did you listen to this, Mr. Trump? The blockade of Kennedy succeeded. One of the negotiations was removal of missiles from both sites. And then we have a complication. What if the supreme leader of Iran's threat from 3 days ago is true? We have nukes, and if you do something to us that we think you've gotten over the bounds of war, we'll unleash these four nuclear weapons that we have. Well, that's the IAEA, they and the JSOP, they think it's possible that Iran does have these weapons. Do they have delivery systems? I don't know that anyone knows. But I think we need to actually act as if this is a possibility. And so, if we were to use tactical nukes, Tel Aviv is gone. Riyadh might be gone. And then it's on. I don't see a good option out of this. Do you? Well, I see one. We have many Christians in our audience. I would recommend you say one prayer every hour. First of all, acknowledge that God is the controller and creator of the universe. Acknowledge his awesome power. The first step in effective prayer of intervention. And then ask that calmer heads prevail and that a peaceful solution comes to this and we stop the loss of life. That may be our best weapon because these other options here don't really jump out and appeal to me, and I'm sure they don't to you. I'm Dave Hodges. This is the Common Sense Show.